The Money Show. Shapeshifters.
Welcome to The Money Show this evening. Good to have you in our company. Shapeshifters is where we look at people who are doing interesting and wonderful things. People are changing the world. People are looking at problems differently. People are solving problems in innovative and interesting ways. And for most of us, I think I can say this, for most of us, I think banking is fairly simple. You need a place that your salary can be paid into, a place from which your direct debits can be paid, and occasionally it's the sort of place that you go to and you hope that they will, when you need it, lend you some money, either buy a house, buy a car, and maybe make an investment or two in property if you need it. You also hope that it's a place where your money is going to be perfectly safe. With insurance, most of us are also pretty much in the same boat as that. You pay a premium. You expect to get paid out if something goes wrong. Our expectations are fairly simple, I suspect. But running the businesses behind them is extremely complicated, especially when it comes to managing risk and understanding to whom you should extend insurance and to whom you should lend money, how you figure that out, because on the surface, of course, everybody looks like, they come and smile at you sweetly and bring you a biscuit. Everyone seems like a nice person. But this is all about managing risk and managing the opportunity that that risk represents, but especially complicated in the mass market where budgets are increasingly stretched and where there may not be always the opportunity to create products that are applicable for lower income earners. Anthony Miller is the chief executive and co-founder of an insure tech startup called Simplify. Good to have you on The Money Show, Anthony, this evening. Talk to me about insurance and what's wrong with insurance in the way it is mostly done nowadays.
Bruce, thanks so much for having me on the show. It's great for me to have an opportunity to talk about this because it's something that I really feel strongly about. So in a nutshell, I think the big problem with life insurance in South Africa, particularly in the mass market, is that it's extremely inefficient. And as a result, very ineffective. And what I mean by that is that we've got a lot of sophisticated players out there. South Africa is actually well known for being very innovative in the life insurance space. Yeah. And a lot of premium being paid on an annual basis. But the premium is being paid into products that are extremely inefficient when it comes to the amount of cover that people get for the money that they spend. And to me, the biggest opportunity right now is to think about how we shift money from extremely inefficient products to products that are much more efficient for people.
When you do, is inefficient a polite way of saying people are getting ripped off?
I think so, to be honest. I mean, we are in the market seeing customers on a regular basis where they could have, 7 or 8 or even 15 different funeral policies from different providers. In some cases, those providers know that it's happening. You've got leading providers that'll have 6 or 7 policies with one customer. What they should be doing is contacting those customers and saying, hey, you've got this very, inefficient way of covering yourself. Let's see if we can restructure a policy that makes sense. So to give you just, ballpark numbers, if you take the cost per 1,000 rand of cover that you get for funeral cover in South Africa, on average, that can be 3 or 4 times more expensive than getting an equivalent amount of life cover for various reasons. There's, high churn in the funeral market. There's a lot of fraud. So spending a lot of money on funeral cover is an extremely inefficient way to get cover paid out, at the time that there's a claim.
No, absolutely. But I mean, the way which these things are structured, funeral cover gets paid out, fairly quickly on the presentation of a proof of death, I suppose, whereas life cover often has to go through a more rigorous and time-consuming process. I think that's the way it's sold as well. Yes, you can get life insurance, but your family may starve to death before you get paid is sort of the subtext there.
Yeah, I think that's right. And obviously, culturally in South Africa, funeral cover is a really important product. So I think having some funeral cover is an important part of an insurance portfolio for most South Africans. The issue is that they often have, way more funeral cover than they need and nothing of anything else. One of the reasons for that is historically products have been very rigid, and many policies are more than 10 years old now. So you've got thinking from, you know, literally the late 90s that's kind of persisted to today, where, you know, historically someone may have wanted to cover a sibling, and in order to do so, they needed to take some more funeral cover for themselves. And that leads to the situation that we're in today where, you know, someone could have six or seven policies. In each case, they've had to take a bit more cover for themselves in order to cover somebody else, and ended up with 300,000 or 400,000 rand of funeral cover. And probably if they were spending that premium on life cover, they could get three or four times that amount. So practically what they should be doing is saying, maximum funeral cover I need is maybe 60,000 or 70,000. Let's do the balance in life cover, and that would free up a whole lot of money for them to spend on repaying debt or saving, or, you know, doing a whole lot of things that are more productive.
I did some research into this, admittedly, quite some time ago, and was chatting to lots and lots of different people about South Africans' aversion to life cover versus funeral policies. And one of the things was, well, you don't want to cover your life for too much, because then you become, in some cases, in some communities, a target, because suddenly you're worth more dead than alive. And, you know, where funeral cover needs to be go to funeral expenses, life cover is a little bit more, I don't know, liberating in how that money could be spent.
Well, I think the reality is that even that's shifted a bit, Bruce, in that, you know, funeral policies in the past would typically be paid to the funeral parlor or whoever was organizing the funeral, whereas actually in most cases today, funeral policies are just paid out in cash. So to some extent, that issue is common to both. The reality, though, is for the same premium, you're going to get a lot more life cover. And certainly, there's a lot of criminal activity in the market. I mean, stories of people, you know, being killed for their life insurance policies are quite commonplace. So it is a concern, but I think it's not limited only to funeral. It's, I mean, only to the life market. It's certainly something that's in the funeral market as well.
Yeah, it's very real. So now you're looking to disrupt. You're looking to innovate. You're looking to shake the model somewhat. That is why we're talking to Anthony Miller this evening. He's given us a nice groundwork from which to start, chief executive and co-founder of Simplify, using technology to make insurance, one, more accessible, two, more affordable, and hopefully three, more explicable. Pick up with Anthony Miller more in a moment.
The Money Show. Shapeshifters.
Anthony Miller, chief executive and co-founder at InsurTech startup Simplify. So how are you revolutionizing a very old-fashioned product in a very technologically driven world, or set of products in a very technologically driven world, Anthony?
Bruce, I come from a technology background. I've been in the kind of technology and data world for what feels like forever, but it's probably 16 or 17 years now. And what we are trying to do is...
You're a mechanical engineer by training, right? I mean, you know, you're bringing an engineering mindset to a financial problem.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. I mean, my father-in-law would say I'm one of the worst mechanical engineers to come out of UCT, but I guess I do have a reasonably logical way of thinking about things. And so I've come through that path of using technology and data to try and solve problems. And essentially, what we're trying to do is to simplify the life insurance process. You know, Simply as a business was started with a sense of purpose. We feel like there's an opportunity to massively increase the coverage of life insurance in South Africa without necessarily massively increasing the amount of money that's spent on it. And we see two ways of doing that. You know, one on the retail front, providing very flexible tools that allow customers to get exactly the cover that they need and only pay for what they need, you know, not having to buy any other bits and pieces in order to get the bits that they need. So that's the one way of creating significant efficiency. So the example that I gave you earlier of people with multiple funeral policies where bits of them are not necessary, they were only bought in order to get the parts that they wanted. We are looking at using technology to create very flexible tools for, you know, achieving a good outcome. And that sounds so obvious, but with legacy software systems in big financial institutions, it's quite hard to move away from the way that you've always been doing things. So, you know, you are probably aware, but maybe your listeners are not, that a lot of the insurance market is still very paper-based, very manual. You know, policies sit on kind of rigid mainframe systems. So it's hard for them to shift towards a kind of a more flexible, modern approach. And we've seen that, you know, in cases where people consolidate their policies down into a single policy, they can save up to half the premium without giving up any of the benefit that they actually want. So that's the one thing that we're very focused on. The other, and where I think there's a much more fundamental shift coming in the market, and we will be driving this, and we certainly won't be the only people to do this. And that's widening the market for group risk cover massively. So group risk cover,
explain this, as you know. Explain this to me, because, you know, you can work in large corporate and part of your pay package is medical aid, and then there's a disability bit, and there is a health insurance and a life insurance bit in there, and it all seems very nice. And because you're one of 1,000 people in large corporate, you get a better deal than an independent operator who has to go individually to an insurer to say, hello, please, do you mind giving me some of this stuff at a premium that makes you happy and not me? It's quite exclusionary and quite exclusive.
It is, for reasons of our own making, Bruce. Group cover, from an efficiency perspective, is incredibly efficient for covering people because of some of the reasons that you mentioned. You know, in addition to having those kind of scale benefits, though, there are distribution benefits, there are collection benefits. What I mean by that is, if you look at the cost of funeral cover in the mass market, what makes it so expensive is that a very high proportion of the premium is paid away to whoever sells the product. So we call that the distribution cost. Churn is very high. So if you're spending a lot of money on distribution and the policies are churning quickly, it means that you need to charge a lot in order to get your share of the money back. And to give you a sense of how fast policies churn in the funeral market, the market's probably around $50 billion per annum in total premium, and about $15 or $16 billion per annum in new premium, which means that that whole book is turning over every 3 years. It's incredibly inefficient, and everyone needs to try and make their money out of that process. Group cover is far more efficient in that typically once an employer takes out a policy, they will keep paying that policy, you know, almost indefinitely. So insurers can charge a lot less in order to get the same kind of value back today, you know, for the same cover. And there's also a lot less fraud in group risk, because in order for there to be fraud in a group risk claim, there needs to be collusion between multiple parties. It's a lot more difficult to do than it is in the retail space. So group, you know, in simple terms, is employers buy a policy that covers their staff. The staff get the benefits, they choose the beneficiaries, and in some cases they contribute a little bit towards the premium out of their salary, but it's paid over by the employer. And that's something, as you said, that's been very concentrated in large employers historically in South Africa for a number of reasons.
In a world where corporates are going to become a smaller proportion, we hope, of employers as more enterprises begin and more people start up their businesses, and there is an element, a duty of care, I suppose, if you do employ people, that you want to ensure that they are going to be looked after in the case of something going horribly wrong. And so you'd like to, I think, you know, being a decent human, and provide people with access to some of these things. But for, you know, small, for startups, for five-person operations or 10 or 100-person operations, often this is very inaccessible. So how are you shaking that market to make it more possible for people to look after, for look after teams, become more attractive as employers?
Yeah, so just before I answer that question, just to kind of extend what you said about this type of cover being inaccessible. So it's kind of inaccessible for the bulk of employees in South Africa. I think SMEs represent probably 60% of formal employment. Yeah. Very few of them have group cover. You also have an increasing share of employees being kind of non-traditional, you know, contract workers, gig workers, temps, etc., they are also outside the net. And then the third point that's really important in South Africa is that these benefits tend to be very rigid. So, you know, if you're a young person working in a call center and you're forced to take life and disability cover and you get funeral cover that covers your children that you don't have, that's not helpful. But if you were given the ability or the flexibility to take a base level of cover from your employer and then add cover for your parents and grandparents, that becomes really interesting. So to me, there are kind of two opportunities that need to be addressed. One is broadening the net of group cover. So making it far easier for all employees to access cover through their employers. So both small businesses, but also non-traditional workers. And then also making it easy for individuals to access benefits that are really relevant for them. You know, South Africa is a weird country. We've got people that are looking after siblings and cousins and people that are older than them. We need to make it easy and efficient for them to access those kinds of benefits. And that's what we're focusing on at Simply, is really making the process of signing up for cover, keeping your cover up to date, changing salaries, etc. We're making that really simple by using technology to do so. So the types of things that we're doing is integrating with payroll systems. You know, historically, if someone left an organization, HR would have to let the insurer know that that person's no longer covered. Or if someone joined the organization, someone in the organization would have to get hold of the person and get a paper beneficiary form to say who their beneficiary was. That's very restrictive when it comes to organizations, for example, that have high turnover of staff. So we are looking at using technology, and it's not rocket science. It's kind of the stuff that we all use technology for daily, filling out forms.
But disruption is hard, Anthony. Disruption, changing an industry, changing a mindset, changing distribution channels, getting acceptance, all of these things are really hard. What is the motivation? I mean, yes, there's a motivation to, one, solve a problem, two, make a living, three, build a business that hopefully one day you can sell, and future generations of millers are able to have a good life. But there's got to be a deeper motivation here, and I'm curious as to what sparked this particular quite difficult journey in a difficult industry and a competitive industry.
That's a great question, Bruce. I think, you know, like most entrepreneurs, if I'd known what the journey was going to be ahead of time, I probably wouldn't have done it. I'm sure there are easier things to be doing.
Absolutely.
But my partner and I actually started the business with a very kind of conscious sense of purpose. You know, he had been working as an actuary abroad. I'd been involved in a data technology sort of fintech business, which I had sold out of. And we were both keen to do something that felt important, you know. And for us, this was an area where our skills came together. He's an actuary who had, you know, done a lot of product work across various markets. And I, you know, incubated a number of startup businesses. So it was a nice combination of our skills. And it just felt like something meaningful to be doing. I think if we can get this right, it can have a very, very positive impact on the lives of lots of people. You know, even if it's not just Simply that's doing it, if we can start, you know, a new move towards making group risk more accessible for all employees, more flexible for employees, we'll, you know, go a long way to closing the kind of cover gap that we have in South Africa, which is a, you know, a big concern.
Have you managed to get financial support for this? Is it all self-funded? How are you building it?
No, we've been very fortunate, Bruce. It's been a much more substantial exercise than I anticipated. And we've been fortunate to have some big, you know, family-owned businesses invest in us. We recently had a significant investment come in from Hollard, who are now, you know, significant minority shareholders in the
back business. They back a lot of insurance technology businesses, don't they?
They do. They're very supportive of innovation. I think being a big business with interest in other markets, you know, part of their incentive for doing so is if we find stuff that works well here, we have the ability then to export that into their other markets and hopefully kind of inject some speed into what they're looking to do there.
Fascinating insights this evening, Anthony. Thank you for joining us. Anthony Miller, the chief executive and co-founder of Simply, an insurtech startup.